Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of March 10, 2023. This week we continue our Lenten series on the disciples who followed Jesus up to Jerusalem. Today we focus on Nathanael and Philip. This week we pray for those who deal with pain, with injury, surgery, or health issues, and we pray for those who mourn. Our first reading is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Our next reading is from Romans chapter 5. There the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Our next reading is from John chapter 4. So Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I, who speak to you, am He. Our next reading. The reading for our discussion is from John chapter 1. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward Him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Christ is risen, but before He rose, He suffered, died for us, and was buried. There was recently an ad campaign, as I looked it up, that seemed to be put out by a non-denominational Christian group, though I'm not fully sure. It was entitled, He Gets Us, talking about how Jesus knows the human condition, the ins and outs of all of it. I think that it has been criticized as a very expensive campaign, but one of the things about it is I find the message to be actually very comforting. It reminds me of the verse in John chapter 6, verse 37, All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. If we draw near to our God, He will draw near to us, as we are told in the book of James. Jesus gets us and understands us in ways that no other person ever could. He knew the temptation that we know, and He faced it at its most terrible. He knew the desire to not do something that He knew was going to be painful and terrible, and yet it was the will of the Father. He asked that the cup be taken away from Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what it was like to be supremely tired when you have reached the exhaustion point, and what it was like to be overwhelmed by people. He knows us and everything about us, even down to the hairs on our heads. He knows our inmost thoughts. Did you ever have to contact someone and provide some proof that it was you? Perhaps you had to share something that only you and the other person could possibly know. There are many ways in which we have to identify ourselves for others. If you've ever tried to change account information for an online account, you can understand what I'm trying to say here. When Jesus called Philip and Nathanael, Jesus would share something incredibly surprising. Jesus called Philip. He told him, Follow me. Did you ever sign on to something, a job, or a significant event or activity? What does it take to get you to sign on to something, to be completely sold, so on board that as soon as someone asks, you are ready to go, you're ready to sign on? Perhaps we are more gung-ho with such things when we are younger. The reason Philip was ready to follow is he believed that Jesus was the one spoken of by Moses. We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. They believed that this was Jesus. Nathanael wondered aloud, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? We all know towns and places within towns that we might wonder the same thing." Philip said, "Come and see." As Nathanael drew near to Jesus, Jesus says that surprising thing, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael responded, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." We've probably all at one point or another encountered people who knew us, but we really didn't know them. And we found ourselves asking, "How do you know about me? Please refresh me." Jesus seems to have known about a defining moment in Nathanael's life, and he identified and described it for him. What are the defining moments in your lives? Could you name a few or even several moments that caused your life to make a big turn? The moment you met someone, or someone took you somewhere. The first time even that you went to church. Or maybe even the first time that you heard about a life-changing program. Those moments define us. They are a big part of who we are. That time under the fig tree must have been one of those times for Nathanael. Perhaps he said a prayer to God asking to know the Messiah. There certainly were others who had asked for such things. Jesus said that there was no deceit in Nathanael. He was the kind of person who is forthright about life, forthright about his intentions. As we examine ourselves, are we always fully honest about the things in our lives? Are we honest about our needs and concerns, about the direction that our life is going? Do we let our yes be our yes and our no be our no? Jesus said to Nathanael, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." We've gotten so used to the ordinary things of this life. So often, we don't expect the truly extraordinary things. We see the creation on our way to work, the beauty and the life that God created, and so often we just drive by without always reflecting on how special it is, without always reflecting how very profound our own existence is as we're walking down the sidewalk. As I was writing this on my computer, I had my computer on my lap as I was writing, and my dog stepped in front of my eyes while I was writing to tell me, "Pay attention, I am important." You see, God gives us these gifts, life, family, our animals, everything that is in our lives, which is good. There are things in our lives also which are not so good. We should be aware of such things. We should be aware of sin in our lives and recognize that it would be well to let go of such things. Jesus introduced himself to Nathanael and showed him that God had things in store for him, important things in store for him, and he has things in store for you as well. It is regarding such things that we all should be in prayer. We ought to reflect on God's purposes for us. No one, from the youngest to the oldest, is without purpose. As long as we stand on this earth, God has purposes for us. I have encountered elderly folks who have asked the question, "Why is God keeping me here?" Our lives from beginning to end have purpose. God has things in store for us, whether it be to pray for others, whether it be to lift others up in faith. As long as we stand on this earth, God has purposes for us. Nathanael and Philip would follow Jesus to his ultimate purpose. I was amazed as I was doing a word search regarding Jesus asking God to remove the cup of suffering from which he was to drink. I saw this verse in Jeremiah 25, verse 15, talking about the cup of the Lord's wrath. Thus the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, Take from my hand this cup of the wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. Jesus himself asked in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus' purpose was to drink the cup of God's wrath that was intended for all humanity because of sin. If we think that we need no one to intercede for us, that we've got this thing called life, the result is wrath. Death is the wages of our sin, and the cup of wrath is a bitter poison. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's not good enough for us to say, I've got this. If we understand that we can't survive without the Savior, the only one, our Savior Jesus, then we rest our faith on him, and he has already drunk the cup of wrath for us when he paid the price for our sins on the cross. The passage from Romans chapter 5 that we read a little earlier fits nicely with this understanding. Paul wrote, Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Consider that. Peace with God. We have not wrath from God, but peace, because Jesus has justified us, and that is claimed through faith, which is given us by God's Holy Spirit. Wrath was reserved for us all. We are all in the same boat in this world. But God has sent his Son as the Coast Guard, so to speak, with the helicopter and the rescue basket, claiming us out of the boiling waters of wrath where we would drown and die, and making us right with himself. And he's done that for all of humanity. Anyone, by the work of God's Holy Spirit, can climb into that basket and be rescued. The Son made us right with the Father and repaired the chasm between us that came as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve. Jesus brings the kingdom of God to us and opens to us the door of rescue. This interpretation is confirmed in verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was the purpose for which he came. Christ came to die for us and release us from our sin. He came to take the punishment for our sins upon himself. He drank the cup of wrath for us. That allows us to rest our cares on him, and flowing from this, to seek to understand better what his intentions are for us in this life, now that he has already made us right with our Father in heaven. Will you pray with me? Lord Heavenly Father, you have given us all purposes for our lives, good works, which we are to carry out in the world. We know that you have even greater things in store for us in the times to come, but we pray that you'll give us the abilities and the strength to carry out your designs for us, that we may honor you with our lives, and we can only do this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for those who deal with pain, with injury, who have gone through surgery, who are facing surgery and rehabilitation, for those dealing with health issues. Lord, we pray that you comfort and care for them, that you would restore them who look to you. We pray also, Lord, for those who mourn, that they might ever remember the promise of life that comes to us through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us all ever to keep our eyes on you, trusting in your Son, Jesus, our Messiah, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our special verse this day comes to us from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. In my life my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life's, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation.